If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
We made it all the way to the Daily Show of Sales of the Ocean Blue and episode 1492.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Would you say that was the beginning of the end? That was the end of white people, their journey to the new world and basically led to. No?
All right. No, that was a jewel.
Oh.
Yeah, guy. Christopher Columbus.
Actually, no. Jazz hands pushed back on that. He was against that one.
Oh, was he?
I agreed. He was anti that Columbus was a Jew thing. Yeah, he didn't like giving Jews credit for that one.
Yeah, like pretending he was a converse or whatever. Anyway, I have something really funny.
I'm with him. I'm with him. I don't think he was. Jews want to claim that shit. Fuck that. They shouldn't be allowed to.
Jews want to claim everything.
Yeah.
This is why in the Goy Cattle, just like yes, give them the moon landing was fake and this was fake and that was fake and then Columbus was Jew anyway. I have a developing story for you.
Okay.
We have a developing story.
Oh, is this a new graphic we're going to be using? Oh, no, this isn't.
This is just the story.
It would be funny to use the graphic.
This is an amazing video. I normally refrain from wanting to do. I will be jumping in to describe for the audio audience what this is. I advise you, if you are a TRS subscriber, and you should be. If you're not, go to the right stuff. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Showa on the right stuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers, there are no mega donors, there is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. Up is paywall and get on that. Support us in this.
You should get on that.
Because literally everybody else you can listen to is a fag. This is an amazing little video that just like I never stopped feeling vindicated. I don't know why anybody ever argues with. Anyway, this concerns a Trump supporter in San Diego who was attacked outside of his home.
Oh, yes.
For having a Trump Christmas house, basically.
Friends and friends are mourning an Escondido Army veteran. He died from his injuries after being attacked outside his home. It is a home that is well known in the community due to its President Trump-themed decorations. NBC7's Shondell Maniz has more details from his loved ones.
It's been less than a week since this surveillance video showed 69-year-old Kerry Sharon outside his President Trump-themed home when 32-year-old Thomas Caleb Butler walked up to him, punched him in the jaw, and kicked him twice in the head. The video doesn't show what led up to this, but
The Trump Christmas led up to it.
Prosecutors say it was an unprovoked attack.
Last night.
Now, let me turn the fucking... So this is one of his friends. This is the man... Do you see? I'm going to read for those of you who are not watching. He is proudly in front of the camera, waxing nostalgic about his poor dead friend, which is somewhat tragic, but it is a MAGA sport, so I don't really care. He's holding a sign that says, "Thank you for your prayers. Regrettably, Kerry passed away."
And it's
PAST away. Get a brain, Morans. Get a Brian Morans. These are your.
Oh my God.
But I saw this screenshot.
I put it in the group chat. I couldn't.
And I was like going to ask for more info. I was like, "What is this? Can I get some background info?"
Now
I've been given the information.
This kind of sign right here, I would totally see that around here. But this is like the West Coast.
This gentleman holds this sign throughout the entire news story.
Yeah.
And this is just your average like Trump fag. Like I don't know how to spell words.
4:43 p.m.
Don't ask Harry Google.
Yeah, don't ask Google. Ask God, as the other idiot's holding the background.
Oh, God.
Everything. Oh, what? Oh, yeah, because, hold on, our pals, and I can't seem to move it because OBS is just a great piece of software. I can't seem to move. There's Gunther. Gunther's in the way of the... Don't ask Google, ask God. God.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I mean...
All right, so it's the... But this video... Only
it's
gets
not
better.
Really the same.
It only gets better. Just everybody just lock in. It just let this happen. This just gets better.
Okay. At Palomar Hospital, and he passed on his own. There was no pulling the life support or anything like that.
Jim Gilley was Sharon's long-term friend, and Maria Moreno is Sharon's widow.
Oh. I want my husband back.
Yeah. I want my husband back. Look at this child support. Just be quiet yourself and just let this let the people.
Hold on a second. Yes, but I just want the listeners to understand this is not just a brown. This woman looks like a dog.
I was going to say she's like a mummy, but yeah, she does kind of look
like
a chihuahua.
Monkey or like a, yeah, she looks but anyway, like she's very strange looking.
Let's refrain her. Let's let her speak.
Okay.
Friend. All right. And Maria Moreno is Sharon's widow.
I want my husband back. I want my husband back because they
was
my partner, beautiful man.
So I will build the wall. I want the throne. I will vote for Donald Trump.
No. Oh my God! I will vote.
So that is the boomer Mexican wife of a Trump Christmas house owner who got killed. Like he mouthed off with some fucking libtard, allegedly. I'm thinking he's a patsy. It's not real. Is Thomas Caleb Butler, whatever his name is.
I thought it was just Army versus Navy, because if I'm not mistaken, the guy that attacked him was a Navy veteran.
I mean, he's a Democrat.
Yeah, right.
So. Navy's full of Democrats.
Thomas Caleb Butler.
Court on Friday. Butler was initially charged with attempted murder, elder abuse, making criminal threats, and battery. He pleaded not guilty. We asked
did they
Deputy
even ask
District
him
Attorney,
why he did it? I mean, did they even get his side of the story?
Not in this
Ross
report,
Garcia,
no.
If those charges may now be changed to murder.
Again, this is still under investigation at this time. We don't have any answers yet to see. We know-
Gilley says his friend has taken heat for being pro-Trump before.
That's the guy?
That's the guy. That's the guy that's dead. And that's the... I guess they recently got married. Like, he did like the...
Oh, my God.
It's like, bro, you're supposed to get a Filipino when you get married that old. What are you doing?
And she's supposed to be younger than you.
Yeah. Turned violent.
Did everything wrong.
Amazed me when people would give him resistance and they'd come up
passed away.
And I'd be like, Kerry, doesn't that bother you? I mean, I'd get under my skin pretty quick. And he would reply with, well, they have the right to freedom of free speech just as I do.
People.
And this is the, and this, and where, this is where dead. That gets you.
Now you're dead.
It's
funny, and I'm tired of pretending that it's not.
I can respectfully disagree, and it doesn't have to be violent.
It's not clear if Butler and Sharon knew each other before this happened. John Dominguez, NBC7.
I just love the sign.
I am reminded of a Marilyn Manson song from 2003 called Use Your Fist and Not Your Mouth.
There you go. I also like everybody's someone else's nigger, and like I wasn't born with enough middle fingers. I like that one, but that doesn't really imply violence. It's just cool. That's just edgy. And when I was 15 or 16, that was the greatest song I ever heard. Like, yeah, I wasn't born with enough middle fingers. I do know how to spell passed away, though. Unlike this boomer.
But arguably though, like even saying passed away is not like he was murdered. Like these people are he was murdered by a libtard or something like that. Like he was killed. He didn't pass away. Pass away to me is a euphemism used for someone who, you know, sort of passively died. Like they sort of died. They weren't made to die. Right? Like when you are killed.
You were made to
like
die.
Passing away
I
is
make
sort
you
of
die.
Like you
I
you,
make you,
you die.
Die.
Yeah, like you're like in a bed, you're sick of a disease or old age, and then you sort of pass, right?
Right.
Other than that, it's like he was killed. Like, this guy was killed. Like, I don't know.
So
he was unalived. Unfortunately, Gary was unalived.
Are these our people? Like, is this the Beaner he was married to? Like, are these our people? These are.
Yes.
Is she honorarily white? Like this is the thing that's so absurd. Is like people will say that this is a white issue. It's like it's not. This is a Trump issue. This is an ideological issue. I mean, it's a low tier ideological issue. Like, there's no white, like, people will try to make this a race issue, and you can't, because it's not. It's never race. No, like, no one uses race in any real way for politics.
Yes, and you know? Every time something like this has happened, like, I actually, one of the reasons, like, I broke from Trump was, like, I was tired of this shit. Mm-hmm. This kept happening. And, like, not just this in particular, but just things like this. And it's sort of like, I started to have this feeling like, I always sort of knew that it was, that the Trump thing was like this. But in hopes of, like, you know, let's get some beaners deported or something like that, I was, like, putting all of that, compartmentalizing and putting all that to the side and pretending it wasn't like that. But, like, even back when we were doing, like, those parody songs, like, Schlonged and all that shit, like, we knew, I, like, kind of, which is a funny song, I still enjoy it, but it's, like, I sort of knew that it was bullshit. You know what I mean? I had this, like, creeping feeling in the back of my head. Yeah, like, there's no, like, this is because they are, this is what it is like, and this has only gotten worse, and now they actively appeal to this, and, you know, Steve Bannon is actively appealing to this. And so, yeah, but to the people that try to police us over, like, whiteness and white people, and then this is who they, it's like, dude, the guy who killed him probably is white and doesn't have any
Thomas Caleb hair. Butler, probably.
I'm going to guess. Know. And Thomas Caleb Butler, although we don't know, it could be, but, like,
there were people, you know, with maroon shirts around and beekeepers. That man, so
that, I mean, man is a Navy veteran, and he deserves respect. Mm-hmm. He's served this country.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
thank
not
you for even, your service, genuinely.
But. I mean, yeah, in this sense, the Navy, I could take that or leave it, you know, like, but, I mean, Navy is like, whatever, this is different. But
when did this happen? Did it happen on Memorial Day?
Yeah, it happened over the weekend, actually.
Even better.
Yeah, it had they had on the sign what day, I don't know what day the fight happened, but it says he died on the 20th.
Oh, 5 days ago, Navy veteran 24th. Charged with attempted murder of Trump-loving Army veteran. So yeah, you're right, it was an Army-Navy issue.
So he died
on the 24th. So it happened 24th. Wednesday. Okay. Last Wednesday, so happened on the 20th.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's got the cringe Trump house. I mean, you kind of deserve to get kicked in the head until you die if you have the Trump house. Like, I vibe with that. Like, what this MAGA movement has done to this country is unforgivable and disgusting. And why I really am proud of myself. I didn't do this on purpose, but the rerun that I posted of the show on Monday. Did you see it? So we had a friend of ours come visit, and sitting around eating and drinking, like, we ended up organically because we are old people with Alzheimer's, whatever, we ended up having, like, the same conversation we had already had once, and which I, like, red face cracking up, made the pun Harriet Tub Girl.
Yes. You did make the joke,
you were with me. You know, he said it. You didn't say it. We were just both laughing. I said, that should be a show.
I thought you said it.
I said it. But
said it?
Calm down. Yeah, I said the Harry Tup Girl thing, and we were both like, this should be a show title. Oh, it's so funny. And he's like, wait a second. It's already used a show. You guys already did that. He's like, yeah, I've heard this entire conversation already on a show. And I'm like, wow, really? So I went and I searched the site for Harriet Tub Girl, and it was, lo and behold, it was in the show notes of episode 1163, Genocidally Aware Individuals. So it's just like,
I gotta push back on all of this. I was the one that said, I'm pretty sure we've done that before. I think that might be a show title. And I was the one that searched.
My memory's not that bad. It was him. It was our friend. He's like, I've heard you guys have this conversation before.
No, he was agreeing with me.
We're in a Star Trek The Next Generation time loop.
No, and I was the one.
We're in a Mike is a Star Trek fan, so he retcons everything. Loop,
I'll get
right
Jamie
now.
In here.
Our friend said it.
I'll get Jamie in here.
We both were just vibing. But anyway, the point is, of the episode that I brought up is, so it's from March 2024, so well before the election. And there's a comment in here from Mr. VFEX, MRVFEX. Sven talking about the Biden miss me at stickers to put up after Trump starts the Iran war is great. So apparently we were making a lot of predictions.
Wow. Yep. Oh, dude. Screen cap that. Yeah.
So just for the Harriet Tubman or Harriet Tub Girl joke, like this little gem is there of us calling this shit months before the election. Not even just so like
that makes it even more relevant to put out there. Yeah.
So that's so.
Oh yeah, look at that. Take that, Professor Zhang.
Yeah. Right.
You said that before anybody even knew who the fuck you were.
So that's good stuff. So I thought that was very funny. Granted,
easy prediction, but
no, not so easy because no one wants to believe
it. Not so easy, actually. Right. Well, that was what was funny because people didn't want to believe that it was happening. Remember, because that was actually one of Captive Dreamer's like pushing back on that was his whole thing of like, if that ever happens, I will do all of these things, which of course he's never done them.
No.
John Goycattle was also saying this. So we went from John Doyle to John Goyle to John Goycattle, just so everyone understands progression. So John Goycattle, he was also did something. I mean, he did something that didn't make any fucking sense. He said something like, after Trump got shot, he said like, when Trump's elected, we go to war in the Middle East. For Israel, like I'll be the first one to come out and say I was wrong, but then he like tried to turn it around, and he's like, but all of you right now that are like attacking Trump are all like the right wing opposition, right wing, whatever, we know we're talking, the non liberal opposition to Trump, like all of you guys, will you do the same? Will you acknowledge everything he's done for you? And I was like, yeah, but he has nothing.
He's done nothing for me.
I will acknowledge. I have always acknowledged everything President Trump has done for me.
Nothing.
Which is nothing.
Zilch.
So, zero. Like, what are you fucking talking about? And it was funny because I was like, now, rhetorically, what you'd want to do there, John, is announce that you will be willing to go out and say, yeah, when that doesn't happen, like, I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong. But when that doesn't happen, and when Trump holds to his promise and he doesn't do a new war in the Middle East, will you people come out and admit you were wrong, or will you just pretend that, like, you know? And it's like, yeah, well, in fact, I would have said yes to that. I will. But like, also, hey, guess what? Who was right, though?
I would have said, like, there's going to be no need for that hypothetical, because there is no
I would have taken the bet. I would have taken the bet knowing I was going to win it.
The question is basically like, the question is not if, it's like, when will the war with Iran start? And we're on the second attempt now, possibly on the eve of the third. We don't know but this is what the MAGA movement did. And so like, I do not bat an eye, and I will be, I don't even call it ghoulish. It's like that guy got beat up by somebody who hates Trump, and you know, basically like beating up a Trump supporter, no matter what happens, that's self-defense. He should get off on self-defense. He's like, I'm just defending my nation from this Jewish occupation government that's run by this guy, you know?
Only worry I have there is, what if this was like a brother war? What if this was like an internecine Trump-tard?
I highly
like
doubt
inability
it.
To.
No, he probably called the guy a panicking manage. And is like, oh, you like all. It's self-defense. Like there's just no way this wasn't a justified. I mean, if he has the Trump Christmas house and he gets his ass beat, like that's like it should just be okay to do that. It should be legal. Like, it should be legal to take the Trump Christmas house guy and kill him in self-defense.
Well, you know what it is? There's a thing. There's a whole thing of like, if you go out, like if you go out looking for a fight and someone punches you, like it's not on them. Like, cause there's even like, they even recognize like the idea of fighting words or clearly provoking somebody, like just go, like basically pestering somebody, provoking them, like not bothering them. Even if they're the one that hits first, like you can sometimes get away with that. If it's like, you can make the case like, this guy would not shut the fuck up. He would not leave me alone. I told him so many times, but I'm like, having the Trump house is the equivalent of like fighting words
provocation.
Like, all the time everyone. It's just provoking and provoking and provoking, like every single day, all day. And if you live near him, if you live next to him, if you live across the street from him, forget about it. This is like a constant.
It's an advertisement for underage sex and child trafficking and sex abuse. Having like a MAGA sign on, you're like in war.
And Israel.
Yep.
And genocide, everything, all these bad things.
But just take it back to the thing these people pretended to care about when they thought it was Bill Clinton. It's like, no, that is an advertisement for sex trafficking. And you can just take that to the people who still defend Trump. They will say that, like, yeah, Jeff Epstein was cool. That stuff was cool. Those were parties, and you're just mad that you weren't invited. It's like, no, I'm not. I would be really like sold. If I was invited to like the sex trafficking underage sex party, like I would be doing some soul searching and seeing what was wrong with my life. I'm glad I wasn't invited to anything like that. And you have no soul, so you can't do soul searching. And you need to just have Thomas Caleb Butler come kick your head in because you like Jeffrey Epstein, more than you like.
Then there's there's the people who are like, I wish I was invited. Like,
again,
yeah,
literally saying
Thomas Caleb Butler,
unironically saying they wish they'd been invited. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, what are the odds of that? His name is Butler, and they shot at Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. This is all fake. These are all crisis actors.
Why did you say that?
Because I could see. Because it's funny. I could see it coming a mile away. That's the kind of shit that they do. That's no different. That's no different than any kind of like numerology thing that they'll do. Like they'll just do it. And I will mock them for it relentlessly because it's the funniest thing in the world. It's
you might as well be the one to plant the idea too. Yeah. It's like just get out in front of it.
So
what are the odds? Butler, a word you never hear. Totally unusual word, Butler. You never hear that word. It's not like relatively normal at all.
But he needs to be set free. He's innocent. There's no, you know, he acted in self defense. The Trump Christmas house is an assault on anyone's decent, and just on your... Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail. Your daily life is no different than if he was... No different than if he had a bunch of child porn posters hanging from his house. It's the same thing, having MAGA posters. It's the same thing as publicly displaying... Like, I don't care if it's your private property. The people in public can see your child porn posters hanging on the side of your house. Somebody can kick you in the head. Somebody can get stabbed with a knife.
And like a slightly different note, I remember years ago, there was an incident at like a gun show.
An accident
at a gun show. And a guy who was sort of well known in the kind of anarcho-libertarian circles was shot dead at a gun show. And since it was presumably like it was over a political argument, there was a political argument. And I remember that the news, there was a quote from his daughter and these were people in that circle knew him. I didn't know him, of course, but he was known about, right? And he was a dealer. Like he was going to these gun shows to sell guns.
Oh, maybe like weed.
no guns. He made weed, but you know, certainly at least guns, right? But his daughter said something like, well, you know, my dad would always fight with them and he had views that like no one else has. And, you know, these people would always be really mad at him. Now, the thing is, it was the equivalent of the Trump tard in that case that did the shooting. So some conservative was so butthurt. It was probably over like war stuff, too.
Probably
because it was like right around that time. So he was like the only guy at the gun show that didn't agree with the war. And he was like aggressively, probably on his own right, maybe being somewhat annoying, but like still like in this case, given that I probably agree with his politics more, I'll side with him. But yeah, but it was funny because like a conservative literally like got so angry, they fucking shot him. So I consider the Thomas Caleb Butler, like taking sort of vicarious vengeance for that guy.
Mm.
But yeah. But this, even if the libertarian is annoying, though, I'll just say this, I'm never going to side with a standard rightoid conservative over them, even if they were. You have a right to annoy standard rightoid conservatives. Like everybody should be allowed to just irritate them and annoy them. They don't deserve to not be annoyed. What the fuck have they done that entitles them not to be bothered about how stupid they are
people.
All the time?
They're the worst people on earth. They are the people who've made an alliance with Jews to destroy our country, destroy our people, destroy our way of life. And then, and then in the process, attempt to redefine who our people are and who you're supposed to be loyal to. Fuck you.
Yeah, that weird, like, Chihuahua-looking Mexican lady, that's your people.
That's your people.
That's your fucking people. That's
that was really the cherry on top. I'm glad that Sven played the video.
Our friend sent that to me.
I had no idea that was going to be in there. The thing is, for us, it's a cherry on top, but it's like, it's not, it's like actually the cream, it's like the cream filling. It's like the middle layer of like the chocolate icing between two, it's like a layer cake and like, it's like the chocolate icing between, I don't know, that's a stupid metaphor. You know what I mean? It's not like it's like integral to the whole fucking thing. It's like, of course that's what it is. Of course that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like it is, I would actually, in retrospect, I would be surprised if his wife was white. I would be surprised by that. You don't see that too often. Do you remember years ago, I don't know if you guys remember this, years ago there was some, when people were still doing like the statue protest thing, and they did, guys down in Texas went, and Asmodor was with them, who some people think he might have been F-37, but I have no idea. I don't even care. They did the same. There was a rumor started And it was like a troll that like the libtards were going to go for Sam Houston's statue next, which of course Sam Houston was a fucking cuck. So like there was no, like there was no, be no reason for Antifa to try and take down his statue. But all of the plate carrying boomertards.
Plate carriers.
Yeah. They,
commemorative plate carrying.
Yeah,
they went down there. They went down there to
plate in it.
Yeah,
the commemorative, I know what I got.
They're like Franklin Mint commemorative plates in their fucking in their plate carriers. Shit. So all the fat plate carrying boomers go down there to defend the Sam Houston statue, and then of course like alt right guys went down with Asmodor, and Asmodor like actually told them all they were faggots and stuff, and like
funny.
I don't have a gun. His best moment, like it was pretty funny. He's like, you're all faggots. You're not going to do shit with all these guns or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was kind of funny.
All the conservative guns.
I'll give him some credit for that one. So and he had guys that were like Vanguard, were at the time Vanguard, like, with their white polos and
like, what are these guys even going to do if you call them faggots? Like, what?
Nothing. They didn't do shit. They did not do shit. You know who did shit? This is what's so funny about it. Okay. Two things were fucking highly funny about this incident. Okay. And sure, like other people that were there were also scumbags, but that's not really relevant. There was one guy that did something, and he choked out that guy Will Fears around the, like, who had a bunch of Pepes and stuff. Like, he had a bunch of Pepes, like,
yeah,
the signs. He got choked out. The guy that choked him out was a fucking illegal immigrant beaner.
Of course.
And he was there with those boomers. He was a part of their, like, gun club or whatever the fuck. So the guy, and like Will was just standing there with signs that just had like Pepe's on them and shit like that, whatever the fuck trolling he was doing. And he gets choked out by a fucking illegal beaner. So here already we have a problem, right? And then there was this woman. This is even funnier. There was this woman who was like live streaming it, or like, I guess because it was sort of the early days of this. And she was with her phone and she was doing like the on the spot report. And she was like the mascot or like the cheering section for the plate carrying boomers around the Sam Houston statue. And she had like red, white, and blue jersey on, and like, you know, this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so guys then started to, and she was like this blonde, like middle-aged woman, right? So people then found her own, like, I don't know what it was back then, Facebook page or YouTube channel or whatever, where she did other like conservative patriotic material. And in one of them, she's doing a video sitting in the front seat of her truck with the camera doing, you know, the ones where people love to do that. And then behind the back seat, what do you see but a nappy little head poking up? You remember this? You remember this? It turns out she had like mulatto kids. So it's like, dude, it's just like this. The one guy that takes physical action is the beaner. Fucking illegal immigrant. Not just a Mexican guy. It wasn't like he was some fucking Tejano who'd been there for like five generations. He was literally illegal. He was undocumented, and they were all defending him. They were all fucking sticking up for him because he was part of their identity group. And then this fucking woman who was like their cheering section, she had nigger kids. I mean, we had that was when it was just like, yeah, it's like there's nothing for you with conservatism, like at all, ever, anytime, ever. Yeah,
well, yeah, well, conservatism is there to like work against you. Well, it's both ideologies are like, if you fashion yourself kind of a lefty, like liberalism is there to do a disservice to you as well. Like it doesn't stand up for labor, workers' rights, anything like that. It does everything it can to erode those,
or anti-war, any of that shit. Yeah.
No, it's all this. It's like there's no Democrat that's going to come out and win any election and reverse what's been going on for the past year. It's like, or the past couple of years. Like they're happy with the path they've chosen. I don't know that Kamala would have turned out better than this. Probably somewhat. You know what Kamala wouldn't have done? Kamala wouldn't have blatantly done the fraud that is the Trump tariffs that just basically all went into Gluttonick's son's pockets. That literally
that's a unique
time when he was talking about tariffs, and we were all the only people pointing out, was like, well, there's no industry here to protect with tariffs, so it's just a tax. The costs of the tariffs were passed on to you, the consumer. Anybody that got something in, you know, from overseas, which, and everything comes from overseas, had to pay, like, somewhere along the lines, a wholesaler, an importer, importer, exporter, art vandal, somebody paid the tariff and passed it along in the retail price. Maybe not one for one, maybe not dollar for dollar, But there was an increase in all kinds of pricing over tariffs. And the Supreme Court just ruled recently that it all has to be refunded. And what happened in the meantime? Cantor Fitzgerald, Lutnick's sons, who has no idea, nothing. He's, oh, I'm not with the company. I'm with the president right now. I have no idea what's going on. His son said.
Yeah, I have no idea. Just his, all in the hands of, I'm walled off. There's a hermetically sealed wall separating Lutnick from that business. Yep, and he has no idea. And nothing weird is going on.
And his sons set up a financial instrument by which they could buy the potential for a tariff refund from these countries for companies for pennies on the dollar.
25%.
So if your company paid $10 million in tariffs, Cantor Fitzgerald gave you $2.5 million. You got $2.5 million back. And in the event that that there's refunds, guess where the refunds go? The Cantor Fitzgerald.
Who ever even heard of such a thing as a refund? Because
what? Who ever heard of what?
Okay, seriously.
Again, because you had to be in it, because this was pure corruption. Pure this corruption. There was no purpose for tariffs. Tariffs do nothing for the taxpayer. They do nothing for the national debt.
Right, nothing
for anybody. All they could possibly do was something like this, a financial fraud scheme that enriches Donald Trump's political partners and God knows what. And that's exactly what happened. And if you're a right-winger who's been explaining away tariffs and how good they are, like, you've been had once again. You paid the tariffs. The refund is not going to you. Like, you're not going to get a tax credit next year on the inflated prices you paid due to tariffs. Like, no. Cantor, Fitzgerald, Howard Lutnick's boys got all that money. Or at least they got the bulk of it. I don't know what the exact numbers.
Right. I mean, who knows? It doesn't. I'm sure they didn't get, like, every single dollar, right. But it's irrelevant. Like, they got a lot of it. So here's my thing. Now, you get, like, your income tax so-called refund, but that's just built into the system. Like, you file, you get or you don't or whatever, right? But whoever heard of the government taxing you and then just giving it all back?
Right.
Because they decided we can't do that?
We're not allowed
instead
to do
of just canceling it. Instead of just canceling it and be like, well, that, now we are here. Like, but what's done is done. At the time you paid, that's what you should have done.
No.
But now they're just like giving it right. This like the moment, as soon as I heard that it was even a possibility, I would have been like, all right, this is a fucking scam.
Yeah.
And
it was set up to be so. I didn't read the court's opinions or whatever, but I'm sure, I guarantee that it's the same old thing that the Donald does. He sets up court cases that can't possibly win. He did it with Stop the Steal and all this other shit.
Of course it is. And, if you look up, I'm now looking at how these tariff refunds work. Only registered importers of record. And authorized customs brokers can file claims. Consumers who paid higher prices have no remedy. So you're right. So why should anybody then? Like, and it's also like, when does this? I mean,
it's just a scam.
I mean, the whole thing is outrageous. The whole thing is a scam. But I feel like maybe I should have been paying more attention to this when it was going on. But the very idea that this would even be on the table, that like you'd get, that the government would pay you back for taxes. Like all, I don't know. That's crazy.
Well, they were saying you were going to get a tariff refund check. Like you were going to get you're going to get a check in the mail one day for your share of the tariff revenue. And everyone just rightfully scoffed at that, except for the most plan trusting MAGA supporters, of which it is self defense to kick them in the head in their MAGA Christmas tree house front yards. Self defense because this Thomas Caleb Butler. I mean, he was robbed by the tariff scheme. And he was just in an act of self-defense. He killed a MAGA supporter by accident with due process. Should I hit the?
The system is still ongoing.
Yeah. So, but that entire thing was a plot that was never going to turn out any other way. Like if you really sit back and you think about how politics work, how this economy works, how you don't have an industrialized economy. Like we've been completely deindustrialized. Like that is not news. It's not edgy. That's not a hidden truth about America. So you can't really tariff. You can't do tariffs to protect industry that doesn't exist. So this was always going to go this way. It's like, oh, this is just a way where these financial schemers are going to like get a huge payoff during a terrible economy. And just all the other things that are going on with Trump recently won the right to like never be audited again. Like, I don't know if you like this settlement with, the IRS, and I don't know. I didn't look into the details of that. Like, so
yeah, that's a, yeah.
But it's just wild. But this is what you got. This is our people. These voters. These are our people, and we should stop alienating them. These boomers with their Latina, like, boomer wives. Like, we can reach them. We can meet them where they are. Well, you can meet him at the morgue now.
Cantor Fitzgerald is denying that it has... they're being very... They're denying they profited from
this. Oh, gosh! Like, why do we have the story where you did it? You're telling me you bought the rights to the refunds and you're not profiting? Fuck you.
I am sure that their statement is parsed out to the minutest detail of the wording so that it can be, like, technically true, but in fact they made a ton of what I mean, like,
Cantor Fitzgerald bought those refund rights, you know, just as a public service to help these poor companies, right?
Yeah,
they just did that, and they're gonna take the hit. They're gonna take a big this Jewish financial company run by Jews, one of which is the secretary of something. I don't remember. He's not treasury. What is he? What is Lutnick?
Commerce secretary.
Yeah, I'm sure it's nothing to do with any of it. It's literally commerce regulation that worked out in the favor of his former company that is now being run by his sons. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. So you mentioned something about both the political parties just being complete trash, just betraying your voters and constituents. Mm-hmm. So the governor where I live.
Oh, yeah.
Spanberger. Spanberger.
I like her because she's a woman. I like powerful women. I think it's good that women have all this power. She's like shattering that glass ceiling. There she is.
Yeah, she is. She truly is. Vito's collective bargaining bill.
Based.
So she just straight up, like, Based. That's just straight fucking bullshit. Like, just...
Abigail Spanberger has vetoed legislation to expand collective bargaining to public workers. What a shock! Including firefighters and emergency medical workers.
Okay, wait, I'm back on board. Firefighters? Yeah, fuck them.
Well, he got the EMTs, too. The move is a direct betrayal of her. So does this mean the EMTs can't raise the price of an ambulance ride anymore? The move is a direct betrayal of her repeating wedges on the campaign trail to support reader.
I had the credit card reader. It's like, sorry, and I need your card. Mm. I don't take cash. You got to pay by card.
That's right. I'll issue a charge back. I'll say I didn't make that charge. I don't know who. Somebody had my card. So that's great. So that's a leftoid doing the same shit. It's all the same shit.
And what's great is she was promising to get something done on this issue, and then just nope.
She got it done. She shut it down. She got it done. She shut it the fuck down, like all these Democrats always do. Whenever there's real labor issues, shut it down.
Dude. The oven's still on.
This is the quote from her. Virginia's firefighters and emergency medical workers face dangerous conditions every day. And
shut it down.
She's sure that they always have a voice on the job, she told supporters last September. As Virginia's next governor, I will work with our General Assembly to make sure Virginia's firefighters and other first responders can negotiate for the benefits and fair treatment that is owed to them. Nope.
Nope. That is so funny.
What is the point of the American political system? Well, you don't have representation.
Well, is MAGA rejoicing? Republicans everywhere should be over the moon about this. Lazy workers don't get to unionize and like earn more than minimum wage or whatever. Like this is so basically she infiltrated the Democrat Party, MAGA tards, on your behalf and stopped collective bargaining. Like, and so power, you know, capital is empowered. Isn't that what you want? You still hate her for some reason? What do you hate her for? Is she white or is she some kind of weird Jew? I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, they don't care about that.
She is white. She is former CIA, if I recall correctly.
Totally based. She's MAGA. She's a rock rib conservative who snuck into office in Virginia, getting the votes of the left. She got in the only way she knew she could. You got to team up with the Democrats, run as a Democrat, get in there and crush labor.
Now, I've got another thing on Lutnick here, which I'm talking about for a second. Now, this is a little bit complicated, but this is arguably some people would say this isn't sort of traditional corruption, but I think it's deeply corrupt.
Right.
So Cantor Fitzgerald is the primary custodian for U.S. Treasury bills that are held by the company Tether. Tether is actually a major buyer of assets. Financial assets and some physical assets, including gold, in order to maintain, and this is probably done through some financial stuff that I don't fully understand, although I'm sure I could understand it. They maintain a stable, so-called stable coin, which is a one-to-one relationship with the U.S. dollar. So if you have X numbers of Tether, theoretically, you can at any time exchange these for actual U.S. dollars. In order to maintain that valuation on this coin, the company Tether needs to be able to hold assets in amounts such that they can, in fact, redeem your Tether for dollars at any time. And theoretically, should everybody want to sell and cash in their Tether, that they would be able to do so. So Tether owns a huge amount of U.S. treasuries. They own a huge amount of gold. They actually bought the second most gold in the world after China last year.
China.
And I wouldn't have known this if not for our friend at Inside China Business, which is a fucking, I recommend that channel highly, even though the guy was, looks at the camera with a weird angle. But what had happened recently is that there was a sanctions case against certain Iranian linked Tether accounts. Because what happened is a lot of Tether is like effectively illegal in the United States. Like you can't use it. As far as I know, you're not allowed to use Tether in the United States, which is strange. Yeah, I didn't know that either, but apparently you can. It's not actually legal here, but it's legal most everywhere else. And in fact, it's quite highly used in so-called third world countries because it's like effectively like having dollars, but it's in this.
You're enjoying what you're hearing. Please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall. to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. Therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Sort of this stable, it's in this chain. It's well, you're set up the, like e-wallet and you can get it, you know? Yeah. So, in fact, a lot of
lock,
it was
you can lock in your gains without them being fully realized into dollars, like if you
right, so you can trade crypto for dollars, or you can just take payments in Tether, and you don't have to have physical U.S. cash, right? Yeah. Like so if you're in, like, frankly, let's be honest, like how much of that shit was used for sanctions fucking evasion, right? Yeah, and it's sense. Almost like perfectly set up for it, right? But in like just a couple of weeks ago, Tether themselves has been, and this is where the fucking setup is, right? So this sort of in this digital landscape, Tether became very well used, and it's not much talked about in America because people don't use it here. But it's used quite a bit in a lot of other countries, and it was used in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And they seized 344 million Iranian accounts. Tether accounts were on the Tron blockchain. So I'm not exactly sure how that all works. Makes sense that whatever Tron is just another blockchain for another fucking Ethereum backed shitcoin, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it not Ethereum? Is it Tron? I guess I don't fucking know. I don't know Tron. Oh, I thought that was another Ether shitcoin. I don't fucking know. I don't care. So feel free to correct me on this if you want to. It doesn't matter. It's a crypto. It's a shitcoin. It's a crypto coin. It's a whatever. But Tether is not a shitcoin. It's actually worth something.
Right.
For
the dollar.
It's worth $1. They actually had a problem where briefly it was worth only like 99 cents. Like, fuck, buy gold. Like, but you wonder, like, so what's in it for them? I guess it's just volume and fees. It's like the bank where you just make change.
Right? Yeah, the change skit from volume.
You've got a dollar, we'll give you four quarters. We could give you 10 dimes. We could give you two quarters and five dimes. We can do whatever you need. We're here for you.
How do we make our money? Volume. That's a classic Phil Hartman.
Volume. Story. Yeah, just make it with volume. But no, I'm sure that they collect fees, and given volume, those fees are probably substantial, making a lot of money, right? Because it's a big company. But so they're like butt buddies with you know. It's funny because the Tether's allowed to operate in America, and they hold U.S. treasuries, and that's being held through Cantor Fitzgerald. And then they're canceling like Iranian Tether accounts. And the point that the Inside China Business guy made is that, like, well, first of all, this is just a way to further control shit, right? It's just another way that we're exercising control. Like, it's another way that America has its hooks into the crypto landscape. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So none of that shit is really what it is. So the whole idea of a crypto coin, generally, it's like, if you take it seriously, you could take the sort of competition with fiat currency crap, which nobody takes seriously. If that's what it was, then it would never be worth anything. But you could take it seriously in terms of like private, trustless things like this, right? Like this privacy, free of government scrutiny, trustless, secure. Like the U.S. government can come around, like the Federal Reserve can come around, like sanction other banks or like seize funds or, you know, U.S. dollar denominated assets using the SWIFT system. We can grab those, seize those, right? Theoretically, a crypto coin You can't do that. The only way to do that is you have physical control of the device on which the keys to those particular coins are stored or whatever. But that apparently isn't how it works. Tether can shut down Tether wallets. So it now becomes a centrally controlled asset. All that shit is gone. All the benefits of it, the privacy, security, trustless aspect of it, it's all out the fucking window. So, and $344 million, it sounds like a hell of a lot. But to Iran, it wasn't that much because like, they're going to make more than that in a single day with selling, like, you make more than that on like two oil tankers, right?
Environmental fees? Well,
I love that, by the way. That's great. Anyway, I just think that's sort of funny that we have this particular bit of sanctions enforcement on, and these were like supposedly accounts linked to like oil payments or something like that, like sanctions evasion or something like that. Which was sort of like, well, what's your business, Tether? That is your business. Your business is that. And then it's just, oh, but we're going to pull it in this one case. And it's because Lutnick and his fucking Lutnick is perfectly happy to profit from that until he decides not to. You know, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But the other funny thing is that apparently the Iranians did a bit of trolling in that they said, because one of the things the U.S. was saying, the world will not accept a toll system in the Strait of Hormuz. Like, okay, well, that's fine. We're not charging tolls.
It's an environmental impact fee.
We're charging an environmental impact fee that's the same price.
Yeah.
But it's not a toll. It's
also,
it's a service fee, service charge, and also environmental impact fee.
Also, it's like the world will accept a toll system. Like, they will. You just will. Like, you can't.
Well, I mean, I think it's hilarious to just change the name of it. It's just like,
it's funny, like, it's funny that they did that to sort of bypass the art, but it's like, yes, you will. Like, the straits,
well, I think that everybody,
straits closed until due to fees.
I think it's just a troll. Like, I think it's just a fucking troll because it's like exactly this kind of stupid shit Jews would do as well. Like, oh, it's not a toll, guy. But again, it's funny because it's like, yeah, no, you're going to be paying us if you're going to move through the street. We can call it whatever you want. Or you don't like toll? Fine. It's service charge and environmental impact fee. Fair.
I'm just harping on this war has shown that, like, yes, you will. Yeah. Like, you don't have, you don't, like, make them get rid of the toll. You're not going to. You can't.
They don't have a mechanism to make them do it. Apparently they did some shit. I don't even really understand what happened on Saturday.
Or was it Sunday? The tomfoolery. I don't know.
It just seemed like there was a bunch of shit. No one really. One thing for sure, we shot down like three. Iran shot down three of our Reaper drones.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming those were there. They were setting up for some gay op. And then, out of the blue, then we had this like, oh yeah, it looks like the deal isn't here. And then Trump is like, oh yeah, we're restarting Project Freedom now. They said this yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And they said we have already assisted. Now, this is a funny, interesting choice of words. They didn't say escorted. They said assisted. 12 tankers coming through the strait. I'm like, so what happened? Like, they already were sailing through and you...
Support.
Yeah, no, seriously, that's
they
what...
They called them on the radio. I'm like, good job,
assists,
guys!
Yeah, no, that's right, they did that!
It assists upon itself. It assists.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't happen. They're like, yeah, you great, sail the
maybe
boat.
Maybe something now, to say.
Yeah, listen, this is the U.S. Navy. Here, listen, sail the boat. The thing you already were doing, just keep doing that. You're doing great. You're well done. We're all clapping. We're all rooting, pulling for you here. You know, 1,200 miles offshore. We're pulling for you.
Emotional support, Navy.
An emotional support, Navy.
I need my service, Navy. He's like, I need my service destroyer. I need my service destroyer. Yes.
It's not really. It's like a service animal class destroyer. It's not like an Arleigh Burke class. It's like a service.
But the thing is, though, usually a service dog will be by your side. The U.S. Navy just like watches from a very safe distance.
True. The service animal is legitimately performing a service,
helping.
Yeah.
Even if it's an emotional support animal. Hey, look, dogs provide a hell of a lot of emotional support. Like, people love to have the dogs come up and lick them and they pet them and everybody feels good. The Navy's not doing that. They're not licking your face. You can't pet the Navy.
How long have we been in this routine of like the peace talk, supposed peace talk, followed by the cowardly military strike?
Endless. And it's going to keep going. There's no way out. We're locked in. There's no way out.
I'm tired of constantly seeing news articles like, oh, it looks like Trump says that we're very close to a deal.
It was funny. I was actually listening to the Cradle podcast. And one of the women on there, yes, brownoid women, this Lebanese woman, she's like, do we even have to report this?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. they were like, cause she's yeah, like, because the guy sort of like, as a matter of course, he's like, I guess I have to say it again. Trump says this. And she's like, I feel like I don't want to report this anymore. Like, I don't, what is
going on? I don't want to hear about it anymore. Yeah. I don't want to look at the headline yeah. anymore. I don't want to see
and he was like, for, yeah, it's like sort of Trump as a matter of just close to a deal. Journalistic, thinking over. We kind of have to just say it. We're doing a newspaper.
I wish they could just say Trump is spewing more bullshit out of his mouth, same as he always does. You don't even
they basically they basically say that, which is funny.
He does this every week, every day, just the same line over and over again. It's a lie. Yeah, it's always a lie.
I found this woman's exasperation very funny because she was like, I'm just so done with it. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to report it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, it's this whole thing. We're so close to a deal. It's all bullshit. Like, and this is a woman like living in Lebanon who like probably like is under Israeli bombs like at least once a day, you know, and just like, or hearing explosions. I mean, it's funny. You're watching the podcast, people sitting there like podcasting, and suddenly like one of them will like blink off. And I'm like, You briefly wonder, did they just get fucking killed by Israel? Like, you seriously wonder. Mm. And they come back, like, yeah, the power goes in and out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're getting bombed.
Right.
And so it's like, I seriously, sometimes I would hate to be, it would be like, while watching the podcast, one of the people that is like one of the, there's like three or four different people that do it, like, one of them just, they blink off and then they're dead. Like, just, oh, looks, his house was bombed. Because I wouldn't put it past Israel to do that, to literally target, we know they target journalists. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, the bombing activity and raids in Lebanon have increased. But also, yeah, like FPV drone stuff has increased as well, including like night vision strikes. So
they are so. So I'm wearing my shirt here.
Your
they're
shirt.
So mad.
Yeah.
They're so fucking. The Jews are so. This is just another thing of like how the peace agreement shit is bullshit. So. I think, though, that, again, Jews, while they are well in control of America, some of them, like, maybe they are not sure how strong that is, or they're iffy on it, or maybe Trump will go another way or something, who knows? But regardless of what they think, what they do is they take actions that then prevent even what was talked about, even if it's not serious. So what was talked about... The deal that was talked about over the weekend is now impossible. Okay. Like, unless America wants to directly tell Israel, and this is something America will never do.
No.
Stop it now. That thing that happened, like, three, 4 weeks ago, where Trump said, I told Bibi that he is not allowed to bomb Beirut, enough is enough or whatever. And they kind of abided by that for a little while, but they bombed everywhere else. And now that's just over with. They started a new assault. They started a new offensive yesterday. And this is on the wake of the rumors of the peace deal over the weekend, which included, of course, Iran's demand that they've never backed off of. And they won't back off of. They say this is a red line. This is a core demand. Is an end to the war against Iran. An end to the war in the region, which, of course, specifically mentions Lebanon, but also implies Gaza as well. So that now can't happen because Israel has now undertaken an offensive past the ceasefire line. Mm-hmm. There was this is what's interesting about the ceasefire too. It's not clear what exactly and who exactly agreed to this ceasefire, because Israel agreed at the same time that this sort of ceasefire with Iran happened. And then I guess that was like an implied ceasefire with Lebanon, but I don't know that Hezbollah ever agreed to anything. They agreed to abide by the Iranian ceasefire, as long as it was convenient for them to do so.
But the ceasefire didn't include not hitting them. Like, the ceasefire is like supposed to be between Israel and like the government of Lebanon, which is like
yes, but it did for 3 weeks include not hitting Hezbollah. But then it also, of course, included then things like, but they can defend themselves and such.
Yeah, right.
But in reality, nobody's going to enforce it.
No.
The only enforcement of it was, and last time when this some similar kind of agreement was made, Hezbollah didn't respond. They kept getting hit and they weren't responding. And everybody was like, they're done. They've just been the pager attack plus the war. Like, they've been fucked. Like, Israel came in and they actually wiped significantly wiped them out. They killed Nasrallah. The Hezbollah is basically a kind of on a declining thing, right? Well, now they're not doing that. And they think their thing was like, all right, well, we expect that Israel will violate this. They're like, we'll respect the ceasefire that Iran signs on to. We expect Israel will violate, and we're going to hit back for everything that they do. And that was going well. I mean, that was working for them, or they were doing that. But of course, the FPV drone shit has made Israel so mad. This, because they're now, this new sort of invasion that they're claiming is also supposedly because they're saying we can't tolerate this new capability that Hezbollah has demonstrated. We don't have any counters for it. We don't have any countermeasures. They were like hanging up like tarps and blankets and shit, which were utterly ineffective. I mean, there's plenty of footage now of these FPV drones just like flying around looking at the tarps and then like, oh, look at that. I can fly around it or I can fly under it and then bomb shit. And, you know, we did a segment yesterday, Borza and I, which showed that long video they released over the weekend where they'd shown one outpost that the Israelis had taken up in this town. And they kind of did like a best of where they showed like, okay, a few days ago we went through this place and we blew up a tank here, blew up a tank here, like five different places. Mm-hmm. And then they had a drone flying around that same place and it had been abandoned by Israel. And then they found where they had redeployed to, which is another town, like I guess a little bit down the road. And they found their command center and the drone flew. It was very funny. The footage is amazing. Like it's on the third floor of this house, this very nice house. It looks like a really nice house in this town in Lebanon. And the balcony of the third floor, this Jew is up there and he sees the drone coming and he runs in the door and then the drone follows him in the door. And you see inside like this house on the third floor is just like, they got computer monitors set up and there's a bunch of Jews sitting behind computers and shit. And then it like blinks out because they fucking blew it up. And so it's like, yeah, that's just like, that's shit.
And there was a follow-up drone that went around the side of the building and showed the blown out windows.
And then showed the blown out windows. And then like, well, I've got nothing else to do. There's a tank. I'll just blow that up, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got plenty to pick from. Might as well just pick a target and go for it. And there was another one then where the Jews started redeploying their forces at night. Because they figure like, oh, they can't see us at night. It's like, well, think again. And this one was crazy. If you saw this one, because you actually see the Jew's like final moment. He's like stunned in the vision. Like it's literally like coming. And he's like he's literally like that. and then it's like night vision. And then it's like, yeah, he's dead. So and the one they released yesterday was so fucking good. Where the Jew like leaps out the back of that car. Do you see this one? Remember this one?
I did not.
The Jew leaps. Actually, I want to get Alex's. Let me get this. Like Borzo had the link. We've showed it yesterday, but we showed it again. This is so good. And I think it's worth it because.
No, wait a minute. So there's
solution on Alex's
is to go out at night.
Yes, but the drone.
Because they don't have any drone defense whatsoever. So they just will try going outside.
Literally, like if we go at night, they can't see us.
Guys, shoes are so
stupid. But that doesn't work because they do have night vision drones.
They're just not
good. Or they have some, they can equip a drone with night vision in some way or another. There's a way to do it. So I'm not saying they're doing it with all, but the ones, hey, you know what they probably are doing? They're probably just putting that on the drones that they use at night. That would be the way, that would be the sort of the logical.
The drone wasn't built in a day. It was built at night.
Dude. This is great. I want Alex's visceral react to this. This is so fucking, this is just Kino. Like, I love this. Is
that PVC pipe that they're using with some sort of, like, wrap?
Yes, they are. These things are very bespoke. This is just a quadcopter drone with a literal, like, a RPG warhead attached to it. And presumably there's some kind of detonating mechanism that they can trigger. Or they'll detonate on impact.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it just impact or is it detonate? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I'm assuming that, yeah. Some of them, sometimes the drone display, it says like bomb ready. So I presumably that they can trigger an explosion, but there's also, maybe they just blow up on impact. So look at this. This is great.
So you watch it. Flying along unmolested.
Yeah. Well, what's going to hit it?
Right down the road.
It's quiet. It's
no one can hear it coming. You can barely see it.
They don't know
it.
It's there.
When you see it, it's too, like way too late.
Which is what we're going to see here. We're going to see some Jews. Let's see this a little bit on the late side. So just watch. This is so great. I would never celebrate this sort of thing happening in Ukraine or Russia. I'm going to be as ghoulish as I want to be when it's happening to Kite.
Oh, this is just the enemy of humanity getting it. You know,
look at this. Watch. Look at that guy. Look at that guy.
He's just diving out of the that guy's fire.
And there's two guys left in the back. Yeah, look at that. They got him. 1, 2, 3, 4. So those two guys maybe live. That I did the meme of like the merchant guy like diving out of the window. It's like it's very reminiscent. Yeah, he's like, dude, he's got oh man, those two are dead. Those two are fucking dead. These two guys probably lived. The ones that dove out. The two left in the back of that, whatever that is, that truck, they're dead. They're fucking dead.
Yeah, because
there's no way they live.
They probably went inside there.
Yeah, went right in and blew them up. They're dead. They're just dead. And I don't know if their deaths have been announced yet, but they're for sure dead. There's no way they would have survived that. But that was great. That was sort of like, so in a way, it's like, you know, I remember when they first started fighting, when Israel first invaded, like last month, and Hezbollah was claiming all these huge numbers of shit they were taking out. And, you know, Israel shills and stuff were like, that's bullshit. Like they didn't take out 80 tanks in a day. I'm like, I'll bet you they fucking did. Because they're not known for lying. And then the question mark was sort of like, well, we know that they had shown Hezbollah in Iraq had shown some FPV drone capabilities in that they flew into the green zone and they flew into Victory Base with some FPVs and they took out some helicopters and they, you know, this was sort of a thing because it was the first time it was shown that any Hezbollah, any Iranian proxy had this capability. This was only like 2 months ago, right? And then they started to show one or two a day of them hitting an armored vehicle, hitting a tank. And now it's like 20 videos a day like this come out. And they're either like hitting people because they do.
Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show. And if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, 6-monthly or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening.
Want to hit people. Like they will go for a human target above all else, and after that they go for the highest value material target they can hit, you know, based on what they see. And I have noticed myself over the last month of watching these videos, the pilots are getting better. Like the Hezbollah drone pilots are getting better. Like in some of the early ones, they missed the mark or they flew wide or they, you know, they weren't quite used to the steering of it, but they're getting better now. They're getting like on point, like right. Like you might've seen a month ago, that pilot might've like pulled too hard to the right and accidentally, you know, missed, hit the side of the road instead of the truck. Right. And, you know, I saw some very disappointing videos like this, but now, dude, no, the pilots have improved their piloting skills and they've gotten very good at it. Same thing happened in Ukraine. You know, after a little while, it doesn't take long to get better at. It's like playing a video game. So it's like, how long does it? This is muscle memory. Like you just get better at it, piloting a drone. It's like, oh yeah, you don't want to overcompensate on that. You know, when you make it go to the right or the left, you want to kind of you want to be very delicate, supple fingers on those controls there. But yeah. So Israel doesn't really have an answer to this, and so they're like, well, we're just going to invade. The one answer that was thought of was the Bezalel Smotrich said, well, we're going to blow up 10 houses for every FPV drone. And it's like, that's the kind of shit you do.
Terrorism.
Isn't Israel?
Literal terrorism. That's the
you
don't, plan.
You can't fight. And so this right. is what you do.
Yep.
You know, it's just, and there'd be people that would, I could see rightoid sort of, and you know, the thing that annoys me.
Well, the right, they would say that's just smart.
They would yes. teach you. So this is the thing that irritates me. Not irritates me. It makes me think that right wingers are scumbags. Is when I see how Israel operates, and that it's not just like it's like brutal and cowardly at the same time, and I know that this will have a visceral appeal to rightoids.
Well, yeah, that's what they're there for—to justify,
you know what I mean? Like,
and like
I
celebrate
that, like, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's why you can't separate the right wing from Zionism because they're just just what they're there for.
This is their ethics. Like this appeals to them. Like, oh. You have outmaneuvered us. You have developed a technology that stymies us. But what we can do is break all laws of civilized warfare and kill a lot of civilians. So what we're going to do, instead of trying to, you know, counter this new weapon, this new technology, this new tactic that you have, because we can't do that because they can't fight, we're just going to kill civilians to ransom your surrender. And this is like, and the rightoid, this, fundamentally appeals to their like the way their logic brain works.
Genius.
You know,
has it's, anyone it, ever
they're like, this is the
before?
This is so smart. They're like, you're just angry before? Because they're smart. Like, yeah. And
I
it's
can't
like,
believe no one's attempted this in the entire history of planet Earth.
Right.
I mean,
and it always works, right? Because this is how power
it works. Because so well.
When you do things like that, there's never any consequences for that later.
Well,
you don't create a situation where like everybody in an entire like everyone in the world hates you.
Well, they just hate. They're just haters. Who cares? There's no consequences from Hiroshima. There's no consequences from Nagasaki. Like, oh, we'll go to Japan. Oh. What was the consequence for that? Subaru? Toyota?
So, well, if the English had done that to us when we were talking about independence, that would have worked, right? If they had just done massive terrorism?
Yes.
Like, I want to ask right.
If every time, like, a Minuteman army killed an English officer, they went in and they massacred a village of colonists, that would have been legit, right?
Well, that would have worked. Well, the colonial militias were doing basically terrorism to the British to win the war, weren't they not? Hiding in fucking behind bushes, doing ambushes and weird shit.
Yeah, they were going after soldiers. They were going
after soldiers. That's right, because they want to fancy themselves as also being geniuses for like using guerrilla warfare. Yeah, right. That's right. I forgot all about that.
It wasn't spotting.
Well, that was the funny thing is that like you could
Conveniently forget that France was our major ally in that situation. We would have lost had it not been for France. I always forget.
Probably,
that.
But like yes, but they did have
the surrender.
You know what's funny?
The surrender monkeys, yeah.
They did have issues. They did have issues with the over mountain people, right? The militia. I don't know if they had so much problem with the militias in New England. They had problems with the militias in places like West Virginia. And they did stuff like actually pick off their generals. There's a famous site in West Virginia where now what's funny is even then they killed a Scottish general, like with some of the, militiamen in a battle there in West Virginia killed a Scottish general there. So, but the thing, let's like leaving all that aside, right? Should the British have then gone to the towns nearby where that battle happened and just massacred everybody? Because that's sort of the logic that we're talking about here, right?
They should have, because that would have meant less Americans in the long run. Okay. That'd be a good thing.
All right. Like, yeah.
Sounds very this sounds like very, we're this doing, sounds very Sherman March coded.
See, okay, listen. Let's not undermine our own point here, okay? I'm trying
My
to
point
make
is Americans
point.
Are bad. Like they don't have the moral authority to have these discussions. Like they're the people that need to be moralized too.
I think Americans of today are bad. I'm not convinced that the militia men fighting the redcoats were terrible people.
Yeah, but it's funny to say that to them. Because you know how mad... You
yeah, know, I know.
Because,
oh, I know.
Because these people also... They also...
But remember, position, I'm also I'm the right
they also
in
try
the
to. They also try
times,
to
remember?
They also try to position themselves as like these enjoyers, these appreciators of Founding Father slop, which nobody fucking cares about. And the Founding Father slop is always used to justify some like awful military or economic practices going on. It's just founding. And the thing about the patch last week with the George Washington Hezbollah patch, which basically is an insult to Hezbollah, but we'll leave that alone. But you know, these people that like they have this wonderful, I don't know, they just have this like heroic view of George Washington. Like nobody has that. Like you have to be a very special kind of Republican to like really like have all this respect and love for George fucking Washington. Everybody else just sees him with us. Oh, there's like a mercantile slave owner that like fought against that fought against his colonial, you know, masters and won. Like wow, it's like it's basically it's at best it's like neutral. It's like ethically neutral.
Even
morally neutral.
Even like a lot of people, like even like George Washington is not even one that people give much of a shit about. He was kind of like he was just actually it's weird. He was sort of picked to be the first president because he was an inoffensive character. Like, cause he was a general. He wasn't even that great of a general. And then he was like he was the one that they like all factions could agree. I guess that guy, like, cause he was like middle of the road on everything. So he's like nothing particularly impressive about George Washington. That's what's funny about it. But in any case, usually people don't like venerate him very much when they talk about like Thomas Jefferson, right? Like he comes up quite
a big one. Yeah.
John Adams comes up more than even Washington. And at least John Adams had like a personality. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know, but yeah, the point being that like, I also don't entirely think it's like this one-to-one comparison, but like the mythology of America, America's founding mythos, right? The mythos of the rebellion or the revolution. I cringe a lot because I hear like guys like Scott Ritter and like Larry Johnson, like make these arguments on shows that they appear on to like justify their support of like Hamas or Hezbollah or like try to like sell it to Americans. And like we had this conversation before the show where I was like, I used to do the bit where I would argue to rightoids about like Hamas or Hezbollah or something like that. Like you should support these people because one, they're sort of like fighting for blood and soil, which is something you claim to care about. But also like they are fighting to not be evicted from their lands, therefore not be refugees in your country, which is something you seem to like endlessly love to bitch about, right? But I don't do that anymore. And I don't do that anymore because I don't want to pander to your rightoid bullshit to try and, I don't want to try and like sort of like blackmail you into being a better, you should be a better person. You should support them because it's right. Because their fight is just. They are the good guys. They're fighting the good fight. They're fighting a just fight. I don't want to appeal to your self-interest. Because if we play that game, one, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. And you don't actually give a fuck. And the Jews will just come around and do it better than I can. So, like, what I'll say is not like, give you something, right? I'm not talking about giving you anything. I'm saying, like, appealing to your vanity, your ego, yeah, your phony political identity. Jews will do a better job at appealing to your bullshit self-image than I ever will. So I want to attack your bullshit self-image rather than appeal to it and be like, hey, listen, based on your bullshit self-image as like a guy who's really mad about refugees, here's why you should support these groups. And it's like, that's never going to work. Pandering, like... I'm not going to pander to your bullshit. Like, you should support these groups because they're fighting the correct fight. They're the good guys in the fight. They're moral and they're just and they're doing the right thing. And that's why you should do it. You should be a better person. I'm not going to pander to your selfish bullshit. And yeah, like, I'm also against like the whole refugee thing, but like, I don't actually think you are. And the reason I know you aren't is because I've done that argument. I've made that argument. I've made the argument that Jews are the ones that are doing the refugee thing. And I've made the argument that these groups are not doing the refugee thing. And in fact, they're directly fighting against it. Although that's not sort of their purpose. Like inherently they're fighting against that kind of thing because the Jew hegemony is what's creating that. I have made this argument. I've given the information. And you know how much it budged any of these people? Zero.
Don't talk about my Jews that way.
Don't
that's what they say.
Really fucking care.
No.
They don't really give a shit.
They like to have the migrant stuff to bitch about.
Yes. They like to have it to bitch about. They want to be anti-Islam bitching is the identity they've chosen. Mm-hmm. That I bitch about is, and what's so funny is I can't even convince you that the people doing most of the shit aren't even Muslims. And that's fucking easy. Like in the UK, most of the crime is done by niggers, just like in America.
Yeah, just like everywhere.
Yeah, like the machete gangs, people run around hacking each other up. Those aren't Muslims. Those are blacks. From the Congo or from fucking God knows where. Zaire. Wherever the fuck.
Zaire.
So, like, I can't even convince you of that, though. Like, you tell these people that? If you tell them that, they get, like, really deeply suspicious of you. They're like, I say, all I'm doing is accurately telling you who is doing the crime in your country. But you've been so bought in on this Tommy Robinson shit. And look, I'm sorry. I know people. I don't like Tommy. No, you do like Tommy Robinson. I think you do like him. Because you have the same politics. So you do. You just want it for whatever reason. You haven't adopted his open embrace of Jews. But you embrace them privately. So yeah, I don't make those arguments anymore. Now, you guys are shitty, and you should become better people and then have better views because you've emotionally matured. You've got a lot of growing up to do.
I'm to this point where, like, I don't even want to do, like, a contrarian. Well, good. I hope they send you more then. So it's like, I'm more along the lines of, like, well, no matter what these rightoids do in these countries, no matter, like, how many rakes that they step on in their like, quest for another, like, kosher right-wing party that's totally going to do deportations and remigration. It's more like no matter what they do, Palestine's going to be free America and Israel are going to fall to the resistance. The question is, how do we make sure that no American benefits from that?
How do we make sure they don't fuck it up?
It's like, no, not even that. It's just like, if Palestine is free, like Americans don't deserve to be free, because it's basically being done not over Americans' dead bodies, because they'd never be that, like, they're not actually that determined and honorable where they would risk that. It's over their, like, emotional investment in the opposite happening. So it's like, how to make sure that America still crumbles and dies even as Jewish power is destroyed. Like, Americans need to experience, like, it's like, you deserve like a century of embarrassment and punishment, at least, of like, where America is just America, like, along with an American, along with like Jewry, needs to be an identity that's erased from there, that can't occur anymore, right? Like, this is being at best, like, this is being done for the people of Europe. Like, they'll have to carry on the legacy of,
sure,
of the white race. There's like Americans that just, they are so like devoted to, they love talking about rape gangs. It's like, well, that's the admission price for being a Zionist. Did you get rape gangs? Like, yeah, the fact that I can't, like, I don't really care about convincing you of that anymore. Like, you seem happy enough with it. So have fun. And when the Jewish NGOs don't exist anymore, I hope rape gangs are still around, like, raping you celebration of the Israeli Zionist entity falling and being defeated by Iran. Like, that's what you deserve, because you're not lifting a finger, not even lifting a rhetorical finger in the struggle against it. It's like you want it. Like, well, so it's like,
I don't hope for rape gangs. Just, I'm throwing that out there. Like, I'm just kind of. Well, I get the thing.
Rape gangs are already there. The rightoids have brought the rape gangs.
Rape gangs are there.
Like, this is the thing. Like, the rape gangs is the, okay, the, yeah, right. Stop. The rape gang is the fault of the rightoid. They're your rape gangs. You support the entity that brought them to you. You support the judicial system that does nothing about it, that gives people gag orders from talking about it and all this stuff. You are there. You are the rape gang resettler and support system. You are there, and you're also, and then you get to play the victim when it happens.
The rape gang service animal.
That's the rape gang service animal. That's the right choice. And it's like, when this regime is toppled, you don't deserve relief from the rape gang problem that you created by supporting Tories, by supporting conservatives,
or reform, or any, like,
you
just, or
these are, these are your rape gangs. You created them. You get to live with them while you cry about them. And I'm gonna point and laugh. It's what you deserve.
Yeah, I think this is the thing. Because remember, these people want to blame us for these things when we literally have, like, literally these people, they get angrier at us over rape gangs. When I never did a rape gang, I've never condoned a rape gang. I've never supported. I've never been a part. I've never, in fact, what have I done to earn this ire? I have informed you accurately of the source of the rape gang. And I've informed you politically the groups of people that you should oppose if you would like to get rid of the rape gang problem. And I get nothing but hate and attacks from these people for that. They're just angry all the time. And so, what I conclude from this, and this is, I'm dead serious about this. This is not sarcasm anymore. What I've concluded from my years now of trying to argue this with people, you don't give a shit. You don't. I have given you the information. I have compiled the information. I have done endless hours of podcasting. I've done writing. I've done research. I've shown. I've done tweets. I've done everything. I've put the information out there. I have put it in front of many of you. Now, not saying every single one of these people has seen my stuff or whatever, but enough of them have. I have a large sample size. Enough of them have. And they have simply dismissed it. And in fact, many of them made a thing about dismissing it. They were doing the say the line, Bart. Not just to me, but to everybody. When those protests were going on because a black person, not a Muslim, killed three little girls at a dance studio in Britain, and the protests that happened after that, which I supported, but I also said, you know, people should focus, you know, because these people are, I saw Tommy Tardness going on, right? So when I see that, silence is violence when it comes to Tommy Tards. Like, I see it and I'm going to call it out. And I got people coming at me, and they're angry at me. Like, it's my fucking fault. I mean, I didn't do any of this. All I'm doing is telling you. And they were literally doing the, say the line, Bart, say the line, Bart. It was the Jews that did the refugees. Oh, it was the Jews that did the refugees. And, like, see, it was. But here's the thing. It was.
Yeah.
So when I saw you people do that, I concluded, oh, they're not actually interested in this issue.
I'll say the line.
They just want to have fun right now.
Rotherham. That's the line I like to say. Yeah. It makes them so mad. It's like, what's your Rotherham
that's
problem?
They're at it. That's their problem. Attitude because they decided they wanted to vibe with Zionism rather than actually face that fact. Right? Like you wanted to be being part of this identity group of I'm anti-Muslim online was more important to you than understanding the issue. That's what I understood. So that's why I'm not bothering anymore. Like I'm going to continue to do the information. Obviously we put out information, we give information. I'm not going to make a special case to try and convince you people anymore. And I am certainly not going to appeal to your self-interest because I did that. It didn't work. And I don't feel anymore like appealing to your stupid selfishness. You should just be better people. Because if I just appeal to your vanity and your selfishness and your stupid fucking online identity, you have no reason to be a better person. And you need to be a better person. You need to grow. You got a lot of growing up to do. You got a lot of maturing to do. Okay? And so I'm just telling you, you know, and if I'm pandering to you, what kind of position does that put me in? Now you feel like you've got something on me. Now you're like, oh, Mike wants something from me here. I'll just not do it. That way he'll keep begging me. Well, I'm not begging you anymore. I'm giving the information. You don't like the information. You hate the information. And if you hate the information I'm giving you, then I don't think you seriously care about these issues. You just want to join the Tommy Tard groups and bitch about my Muslims online. Because well, MAGA. But you don't want to ever change anything.
You want to join the Jews of MAGA. You want to join the Jewish scam factory that is the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. They all do it, and they do it in the name of whites. This was whites for, so... Anyway, we're getting
because that fucking last thing, that stupid fucking march that they had in London a few weeks ago, like a couple weeks ago, with that fat porn star, that fat feeder fetish porn star, they're all taking their pictures. That's what you want. You want to go and get your picture taken with the fat feeder fetish porn star, you know, with their sign that says, get them out. Like, get them out. What? Like, is that what we would get them out? Like, get last night's dinner out when you binge and purge? That's what you mean? Like, yeah, so... Yeah, that's what you would rather do. Though you want to be that, fine. That's your group. Go
to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Go ahead and be with those fucking retards.
So. Fucking white
male.
I just want to give out a heartfelt thanks. Someone who wishes to remain nameless. It was a huge mystery. Sent me the Hell Awaits 40th anniversary vinyl box set, which this is an amazing gift because I would never buy this for myself. And I really appreciate it. It was in the P.O. box the other day. I was like, oh my god. Someone bought some terrible like American, what would you call it? Like youth coded, rebellion coded like entertainment product for me that I enjoyed in my youth. And I thank you very much. I wish to thank the person. I know who it is, but they don't want me to say, so this is a very thoughtful gift. Right. As I bitched about this box set and the stuff on McDunstab last week. It was pretty amazing. It was very nice of the listeners. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. Thank you for going above and beyond and making your contributions to the cause here. I got Hell Awaits. This is Hell Awaits is the song where Tom Araya turns into the Micro Machines man, so you should go listen to it. That's how the vocals go. He's just like, he's going so fast. Like, Micro Machines! It's really good. So,
oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So, and thank you for that, Nameless, faceless listener, subscriber, and longtime supporter. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I was so shocked. Well, actually, the funny thing was, it was mail ordered from Dark Side Records, Poughkeepsie, where I used to actually go to all the time. I was like, wait, am I being fucked with here? Like, that got to be like I open the, I get the thing, they hand it to me across the counter, and it's a fucking, it's a Dark Side Records box. I was like, oh, because that Dark Side Records is where I actually bought off. They had displayed on the wall an original pressing of Rain and Blood by Slayer, and it was like one of those like big things. So they take your picture and they share on Facebook, like that someone bought it, and like all of our friends from Facebook like were on this picture like trolling and stuff, and like the Dark Side Record guys like I remember like he commented, "What is going on?" And then the next thing I knew, like, the post was gone. I was like, that's probably for the best. You can take that down. That's really fucking funny. Dark Side, right? That was good. That was a good Facebook moment from, like, that had to be, like, 2017 or something like that. All right.
What the shit is this?
We'll do that next hour.
Yeah, okay, we can. We gotta go to arm rag.
Just show notes. It's not
okay. Keep going.
We gotta do armrag.us.
It's fucking wild, but yes.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of these things going on lately.
This one is particularly funny. But
yeah, that's just one of a handful that just came up. But so
I still look at armrag on Twitter despite my unjust banning. Yes. Oh, here we go.
armreg.co.uk, armreg.us, armreg_official on Twitter. And what have they got there? I'm still
Nazi reading. Gas chambers, the roots of the story. We all know the iconic core of the Holocaust narrative. The Nazis used gas chambers to kill millions of Jews with poison gas. However, if we dig a little deeper to uncover the roots of the story, we find early accounts in the wartime and immediate post-war period that tell quite a different story. They speak of steam chambers, vacuum chambers, electrocution chambers, murder with chlorinated lime in trains or with toxic fluids. How do we get from this bizarre assortment of claimed murder methods to where we are today? First, someone clouded the historical record and then someone else cleaned it up. But who did what? There's no shortage of culprits for investigating atrocity stories because all countries involved in World War II spread atrocity tales about their enemies. When it comes to separating what we are told is true from the admitted propaganda, opinions diverge on how it was done. This book reveals exactly who cleansed the historical record to create an apparently consistent and coherent narrative and which methods they used. Those looking for evidence of a huge Jewish conspiracy will be disappointed because that's not how it happened. Instead, the details of the conventional gas chamber story were defined and documented by, well, read the book and find out. It's probably still Jews. But they probably were just doing it on behalf of something else. But hey, look, the Allied governments had their reasons too. But again, given that I take a holistic view of the Jewish problem, I don't separate that from Jews, right? Certainly the Polish government had their hand. The USSR government had their hand. The American government had their hand. I actually know what the answer is based on this book, but I'm not going to give it away because you got to get the book.
Mm. And here's also the deluxe edition of The Hoax of the 20th Century. You're going to want to pick that up.
Yeah, definitely. And you want to get deluxe butts.
The deluxe butts. If you want to use the discount code is TRS1. By the way, it's 15% off your order with them. So you're going to want to enter that as well.
Yes. They have another book here. This one's also interesting. The Dissolution of European Jewry. I'm not going to read the whole blurb. This is a book about what really happened to the Jews of Eastern Europe. Because this is the one, answers to that question. Because this is a big question.
If they weren't all killed, where'd they all go? It's like, well, it's not really my problem, but check this out.
This is the other thing is that here's what I would say to that. Like, there are answers to that. And the question is like, are you interested in the answers or do you want the gotcha? And I know the answer to that question already. So now I'm actually interested. I would like this information.
I'm interested in information.
It's good to have the information and it's good whenever there's a trope, like an argument that's like gets passed around. Everyone
I'm interested in information.
I'm interested in information to the point it becomes a talking point, right? By that point, it gets deployed by people who are no longer interested in the question being raised. They're interested in the own. However, it is good for all the other members of the public for you to have an answer for that. And there is an answer. Many answers. It's not just one answer. This is in fact, what happened to 6 million people? You'd be surprised. That's quite a complicated thing. A lot of different things happened to them because that's a lot was going on.
Nothing weird.
You want to know?
Nothing weird was happening at all.
I don't know if I go so far to say nothing weird. I think, that's a bit of a stretch, but definitely a lot going on.
So check that out.
By the way, he says a lot going. He doesn't say a lot is going on. He says a lot going on. Kind of, but yeah. Anyway, whatever.
So that's armreg.co.uk, armreg.us, armreg_official on Twitter, TRS1 discount code. Go grab all that stuff. Grab it. Enjoy it. Keep the flame alive. Keep these things in circulation. So with that, we're going to go hit up lunch and we'll be back shortly.
The Death Panel will be right back after this riff. On the Daily Showa.